Hello, here we are again with another in our series entitled God's Church Manual, a manual that tells us how things ought to be done in the house of God, and particularly how the pastor is to behave himself in the house of God. Verse number 4, we pick it up there. Paul said to young Timothy, that pastor at Ephesus, he said, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now what he's doing here, he's telling Timothy, you got to deal with those who listen to the troublemakers. Neither give heed. What about those who listen to the troublemakers? As well as charging those who sow discord to quit their wickedness, the pastor was also given the responsibility to charge some church members that they were not to listen, to give heed, to those that ministered questions rather than godly edifying. Listening is wicked. The listener, the Bible says, is a wicked doer and a liar. It is not only the one who sows a discord that needs to be dealt with. God considers those to listen to him or her to be wicked. Proverbs 17:4 says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Wicked people choose wicked people for their companions. Amos 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now somebody has to line up with somebody in order to be agreed. To listen to a troublemaker is to give consent to his wickedness. Proverbs 4:14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Psalm 119:63, David said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. And so the person who is sowing discord in the local church does not fear God, neither does he keep his precepts. A liar is one who creates a false or a misleading impression. So a person who listens to the one who sows discord may justify himself as just being too kind to rebuke the talebearer. However, he is creating a false or a misleading impression to the one that he is listening to. Anyone who purposely creates a false or misleading impression is a liar, and God says he or she is wicked. People who do a lot of vain jangling will soon stop their vain jangling if they have no one to jangle to. If you're not going to listen to them, they have nobody to listen to them. They're going to have to stop. We will see that Timothy, like Paul, and like Jesus, did not hint at the issue in a sermon, hoping the troublemakers might get the message. They dealt with it head on. Now, you look and you can see the harm that these people can cause. Proverbs 6:12-14 reads of a naughty person, a wicked man walketh with a froward mouth. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There's a verse given to the local church. It says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he has received of us. Now, if we withdraw ourselves, it makes it impossible to listen to anyone who's spewing discord. The Bible goes on to say in verse 14, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, that is, if he refuses to withdraw from the disorderly, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. The word note means to make special mention of something, and to make a note means to record something in writing. And so the pastor's responsibility includes stopping those whose mouth must be stopped and charging others that they do not give heed or listen to the one who sows the discord. And in this situation, Paul names Hymenaeus and Alexander. He named them. Here we are, 2,000 years later, reading about them. Now, do we have problems or do we have projects? Pastors should not look at the trying situations that come along in the local church as problems, but rather as projects that God has entrusted to the pastor to take care of. As a pastor, I've had to deal with people who were upset because we had puppets teaching the children in junior church. Others have said we should not have a program for children or youth meetings. They should all just sit with their parents in church. One man felt we should be keeping the seven feasts in the Old Testament. One woman got upset with me one time because I loosened my tie when I was preaching. Another woman challenged me, saying there's not a single verse in the entire Bible that suggests a church should have a nursery. I told her there's not a single verse in the entire Bible that suggests a church should have a washroom either, but we're going to have both. There is a verse that says submit yourself to the pastor, and you can't submit unless you disagree. Well, verse 7 says there's those that are desiring to be teachers. Now, some people in the local church at Ephesus felt it was their God-given responsibility to be missionaries to the people in the church and to teach them about their pet doctrine. Pastors face the same situations today. One man told me he did not really want to come to our church. However, he was there because God sent him to keep me straight. I haven't been able to find that local church office in my Bible. The root problem was in the church at Ephesus and is in these kinds of situations today, pride. Pride. They think they know more than the average person in the church, including the pastor. It would be great if these people who desire to be teachers would go out and teach the lawless and the disobedient and the ungodly sinners and the unholy profane murderers, whoremongers, and them that defile themselves with mankind, men stealers, liars, and all the rest that are mentioned in the next few verses, rather than messing up the minds of the Christians in the local church. Well, we're to have no peaceful coexistence. We're to have a war of good warfare. Like Timothy, pastors have the tremendous responsibility to heed the charge given in verse 18, where Paul said, war of good warfare. One of the reasons many local churches are in the mess they are in is because pastors want to live in peaceful coexistence with people who are causing division in the church. In the next verse, Paul exposes two troublemakers by name. We mentioned already Hymenaeus and Alexander, he said, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. There was no peaceful coexistence with those who sought to cause division in the local church. Now we can read the problem that Timothy had in verses 8 through 11, but our problems today are somewhat different. First of all, we have the heresy of Calvinism. Anyone who teaches that the Lord brought anybody into this world for no other purpose than to have them fry in hell for eternity is teaching heresy. Then we have the damnable heresy concerning the changing of God's plan, which we have mentioned before. Jack Hiles, the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, and Curtis Hutchin of the Sword of the Lord back there some years back, they came out and basically said Jesus didn't know what he was talking about when he said you needed to repent. All men everywhere should repent. No, you can't get a crowd if you're going to tell them to repent. Just tell them to pray a prayer and then they can get into heaven. That is what Peter calls a damnable heresy. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, a few people will deal with this Calvinism heresy. Now, you know, you can actually believe in Calvinism if you're a Christian and still go to heaven. But this damnable heresy, if you just voted for Jesus, you can put the right information information into a computer and it'll vote for Jesus, but it will not go to heaven. It's not some kind of an emotional experience. The Bible says, and Jesus said it, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. To teach anything else is a damnable heresy. And like I said, oh, we'll say a little bit about the Calvinism, but no, we can't say anything wrong about Jack Hiles or Curtis Hudson. They are fundamentalists. They were bringing in a damnable heresy, and our problem today is that most preachers, most, I'm going to say 98% of the preachers who call themselves fundamental independent Baptist pastors today won't dare say anything. Oh, they'll criticize Jack Van Impe, but Jack Hiles, oh no, don't say anything like that. Years ago, I had a man say to me, if you say anything against Billy Graham, you cannot be my friend. Recently, I had another preacher say to me, if you say anything against Jack Hiles, you cannot be my friend. Yep. We are fundamental apostates. That's where we are today. Another big issue is the music issue. We could just do a whole series on that. Maybe we will. The CCM, contemporary Christian music. There's nothing Christian about it. It's satanic. Well, let's get on with this. Let's get on with verses 12. 11 and 12. According, Paul said, I've been entrusted and I've been enabled according to the glorious gospel, he says, that God has blessed me with. He has committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. In the middle of Paul's instructions to Timothy about the serious problems, he expresses his thanks to the Lord for enabling him to do what God wanted him to do. One day Paul was saved, and that day on the Damascus road we read, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Every pastor has something God wants him to do, and God has enabled him to do it. God does not want every pastor to imitate another pastor. If God wanted that other pastor in your church, he would be there. He has enabled you to do what you need to do, preacher. So what we need to do as pastors, take care of our responsibilities. Acts 20:24, we read Paul was concerned about his God-given responsibilities, and he said, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. Paul kept his focus on his responsibilities, and at the end of his life, he wrote 2 Timothy chapter 4 to the same pastor, and he said, I have finished my course. Paul finished his course, the Bible says, with joy. And so we read in the scriptures, in everything give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul wrote, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He did not say for everything. He said in everything. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 through 24 through 28, we've got some of the things Paul was in. Read through them. In stripes, in prison, in close to death, often in the deep, in the waters, in the perils with my own countrymen. Read the list down there. And he goes on and says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. It sounds like this other stuff was a picnic compared to the care of all those churches. Well, even as Paul writes to Timothy about being thankful, he is sitting in a dungeon awaiting his execution. Be sure to be with us for our next lesson as we continue in God's church manual, that we may know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God.